topic today.
Thank you for the thought. I always want to come. Sometimes it's more difficult than others. And I've also been in Israel for almost 3 weeks. So
okay. Topic today is woman's hair covering. And the connection to the parsha is the Gemara learns out from the story which the Torah describes how we punish the Soita, that there's an obligation for a woman to cover her hair. And the Gemara is fairly clear that this obligation is on a Torah level. There's a Gemara in Ksubis which talks about valid grounds for divorce, and the Gemara says that if a person, the woman that transgresses Das Moshe or Das Yehudis, so Das Moshe is halacha, which is, and Das Yehudis is minhagim. So the Gemara says one of the examples is a woman who goes out to the shul with her hair uncovered. The Gemara says that's not Das Yehudis, that's deraisahi. So the Gemara uses the lashon of the raisa, which indicate that this is something at a Torah level. The woman has a chiyuv to cover her hair when she goes out to the shuk. The questions which need to be clarified when we say that she has to cover, how much covering is called covering? How much is the chiyuv to cover the head? Is the chiyuv to cover the hair, or is the chiyuv to cover both? That's one question, and what is there any area which is dependent upon minig? So I'm going to follow the approach of Mr. Barua. There are other approaches, and therefore there is a lot of this is an area which you can imagine there's a lot of discussion on it and a lot of very, very high emotional content on the topic. And Mishnah Berurah goes with the number one. He points out that of the Torah, the woman has to cover her hair. And this has application in regards to a woman's chiyuv as a woman who's married. It also applies to the halachas of Hilchos Kriya Shema, or saying anything of kedusha, any words of Torah in the presence of a woman whose hair is uncovered. Mishnah Berurah postulates that that's also to do that, which is the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. There is a famous Aruch HaShulchan that says that nowadays it's become so common for women to go with their hair uncovered, inappropriately so, but now that it's become so common, it does not have an halacha of erva in regards to the prohibition of saying brachas and Torah in their presence. I mean, it is not permitted for the woman to do so, but she's still doing the aveira of going out, of dress, not covering her hair. In regards to the prohibition of saying words of Torah, it's now mutter. And Rosha follows the Aruch HaShulchan in case of need.
I think would that apply for today, 100 years later, there's much more parts of the that are usually covered that are revealed. Would that apply to that as well?
No. So that's very clear that this, if it is true, it's only specifically regards to hair. Mm-hmm. We see that hair is treated in a very special way. Hair of a woman who's a psula is not a problem to say brachas in the presence of it. Mm-hmm. It's only hair of a woman who is a nesua because the derech is to cover her hair. Once it's become the derech not to cover the hair, so that whereas everything else, is, the Mishnah Berurah is very clear that it would not be affected by the change in the society. That whatever halacha says, the definition is considered an erva on the goof of a person, that remains an erva whatever society does. In regards to saying brachas, words of kedusha, Torah in that presence, the Mishnah Berurah does say that there's something known as the hair which is chutz l'tzimtzum, which means that when a woman covers her head, the hair which extends beyond that area which is covering the head, there's a certain amount of hair which sticks out. So that hair which is difficult to cover, that depends on the minhag hamakom. That will be dependent on the minhag hamakom. So, where exactly that applies to? So, the assumption in halacha is that the hair which goes down in front of a woman's, the hair which grows in front of a woman's ears, or the hair which grows on the back of the person's neck, not on the skull, but on the back of the neck, goes into this halacha, and that depends on minhag hamakom whether it has to be covered or not. But everything which is on the head itself, which includes from the base of the skull all the way around to the front, has to be covered. There is an interesting question: if the iser is to cover the head, so as long as the head is covered, even though there's hair extending beyond that, the hair of the head extending beyond that, that directly should be mutter. If the iser is to cover the hair, so I don't care how long the hair is, since it's attached to the head, it's going to be problematic. But what about vice versa, a woman who has no hair? Does she have to cover, if the iser is hair, so she doesn't have to cover her head, theoretically. So the assumption of the poskim is really both. There's a din of parah rosh isha, with a din of rosh, it's a din of their hair, and it says, and he uncovers her hair. So there's both an issue of the hair and an issue of the head. So even the hair which is extending beyond the head is going to be problematic. The hair of the head which is no longer, or vice versa, a woman would have no hair in her head, she'd have to cover her head. That being said, regards to the issue of erva, the Gemara says sarba isha is erva. So theoretically, if a woman would have a shaved head or a woman would be bald, there'd be no issue to say the ritara in her presence. Interesting kanech. There's a famous tumor for Moshe where Moshe applied the concept of tefach in regards to woman's hair. So now, where the source of that is, in the Hilchos Kriyashma, there is a concept of tefach, which means that certain parts of the body are considered absolute erva, and any part of that part of the body is uncovered, there's a prohibition to say divitara in that presence. And certain parts of the body, since they have to cover them, so they are considered erva as well, but then the issur of saying divitara in the presence is only if a tefach of that is uncovered, an area of a tefach, which is about 3.5 inches worth. So Ramosha then takes that halacha, which is not talking about hair, and applies it to the hair as well. That the prohibition to say the ritara in the presence of the hair of a woman only applies if a tefach is uncovered. Now the definition of a tefach is that's one linear measurement. You need at least 2 linear measurements to apply this halacha. So it's a tefach back, but how wide do you have? So the simple version of the different shuvah seems to say it's a tefach by a tefach.
Square tefach.
It's a square tefach. So if it means the tichel would write up one area and you have a tefach by a tefach, which is visible, that would not prohibit the person to say the ritara in that presence. But to say that a woman can wear her tichel further back and therefore the whole width of a tefach being uncovered, so she knows she has a measurement on her head that make sure that it doesn't go back 3.5 inches, it only goes back 3 inches. But it's more than it's a tefach back, but it's also more than a tefach wide. So that would not be. Now, Rav Moshe then discusses that's in regards to the prohibition of saying the ritara in the presence of a woman. A woman's uncovered hair. What about in regards to the woman going like this? Because there's besides the halacha in Erech Chaim Siman Ayin Hey, which is the prohibition of saying words of Torah in that presence. There's a halacha in Evan Ezer that a woman has to go with her hair covered. So do we argue that over this prohibition doesn't apply if less than a tefach is uncovered? So Rav Moshe in one other, he speaks about this in one place very explicitly, and he says this is an argument to permit a woman actually going like that. And you look at Rav Moshe's other places where he talks about it, it's very clear that he did not mean that is the way it should be done. He says that this is an understanding of maybe the people are doing that. You cannot consider them that they're doing something which is an aveira to the point that they're called, there's grounds for various issues with them. But the same way that the halacha is that regards to saying Kriyashma, etc., we said there's a halacha of tefach in regards to uncovered basar, it doesn't mean a woman's not allowed to walk like that. And that Mersha says clearly in a different place that that's not a heter for a woman to go like that. It's a heter, just means if she did, you're allowed to say divitara in the presence of it. But in regards to the woman's obligation to go in a way which is sneeze, that still she doesn't have a shear of a tefach. So Reb Moshe then applying it, so Reb David Feinstein is on record that his father was saying this as a way to explain the opinion to the people which are being lenient about it, but not that this is acceptable the chachila for a person to do so. This has become the foundation of many people wearing their chachila, wearing their tichel not fully covered, their head not fully covered. It's a bit difficult to rely on that. Shabura, clearly, by the way, does not pass like that, etc. Now, it's clear in halacha that the definition of isser is that she should go out to the shuk with her hair like that. The question now applies in the bayis, and the question now applies also beyond the bayis into a chatzar. So, from the Rambam is clear that that halacha that it's considered the woman's considering eres das Moshe is only within the shuk. If the woman go to a chatzar as such, that would not she would not be eres das Moshe. She's not called that she's transgressing on a Torah level. Okay.
Quick question. We're talking about a married woman, right?
Married woman. Oh, we're talking married woman.
Or a divorced woman?
Okay. A woman who was married. Yeah. Whether she's married now, she's divorced or widowed.
Is the chatzar is assumed to be a shared space? It's not just.
It can be even if it's a shared space, as long as it's not instead of shuk. Right. Now, so then it would seem to indicate from the Rambam that if a woman would do so into the chatzar, that's das Yehudas, which means that would depend on the minig. That's understanding from the Rambam. Is this the application? So it seems to be the way the Mishnah Berurah goes that in the bayis itself, a woman has permission to mikir adin. A woman has permission to go with her hair uncovered. He does quote a Zohar that it's not appropriate to do so, and he quotes a Shuvas Chasam Sofer, which is very strong that the halacha is that a woman has a chiyuv to cover her hair inside as well. And he brings various rayas that other Rishonim do not agree with the Rambam, and this applies for sure outside and even inside the bayis as well. So. That heter that some people say that women go inside without there is what to base it on, and they'll get again high emotionally fraught conversations on this topic. That there is what to say that it's true. There's what to say that that's not true, and you follow your pricing. So. What type of covering is considered a valid covering? So clearly the more it talks about a covering which is made out of cloth, the woman puts some type of a bag on her head, that's called covering her hair. The question comes up with wearing what's known as peyanoch ris, which means which is also known as a wig, a faruk, or a shaitel, whatever language you want to call it. Is that permitted or not? The question being is there the Shulta Giborim, which writes in Masechtas Shabbos, the more it talks of Peyanachris, the more it talks about this wig type item, and the more it clearly describes it, it's made out of hair and it's covering the head, etc. She says, you see from this that a woman is allowed to wear such an item. There's a famous tshuva from the Be'er Sheva, which is a very early Achron, which he disagrees very strongly. He says that it's also to do so. For multiple reasons. One is that there's a Maris Ayin issue. It looks like a woman's not covering her hair, and the woman has a responsibility to cover her hair. She also has a responsibility, like any mitzvah, you cannot give the appearance of doing something improper. It doesn't accomplish the purpose of covering the hair, that the hair should be, that the woman's hair is attractive. He has multiple arguments why it's usher. The psak in this, Rav Avdi Yosef, has a long tshuva where he paskins that it's usher, and that's why many sorry women do not wear shaitels.
What about the Mishnah and Shabbos?
In the Mishnah and Shabbos, which talks about peyanochris, is pashtus. It was a hair covering, but it wasn't really covering the whole head. There's different ways of understanding what the Mishnah, how to understand the Mishnah, what the case of the Mishnah was. The Ashkenazi poskim do say that it's mutter. However, they do point out that it is really preferable in halacha that if the hair should not look like it's her real hair. The Mishnah Berurah raises the question in regards to a woman having her hair cut off and making a shetel out of her own hair. So he brings that two opinions on it. He brings to the Mocking Gibor and that it would be problematic because that clearly would look to people like it's her own hair, because it is her own hair, just not attached anymore. I don't suggest that, besides the fact that I'm not sure how much that would cost to do that. Very, very custom made shetel. Right? When we grow here long, have it cut, then make a shetel out of it, and then get married. I don't know, how we would do that, but you know. I guess theoretically it could be done. Where was I thought?
Does that mean that the less expensive, whatever, however you want to find them, shetels are collectively preferable?
Yes, that's what it means. It does mean that. I'm not going to get involved in the length of the shetels. That's not a very clear source in halacha in regards to that. It's just along the theory that the more and more attractive the shetel gets, the more and more you're getting, and more it looks like your real hair, the more and more you're getting into this gray area that maybe we shouldn't be doing this. So they're trying to draw some line over there. The lines are somewhat arbitrary. I have not seen any real sources for where you draw the line. The shetel goes 3 inches below the, over the shoulder, less than 3 inches. I haven't found makaris that are, that there's real makaris on that topic.
I have two questions. The first is, based on this concept of Divrei Torah and Kriyat Shema, how can any rabbi appear in many Orthodox shuls today where there are at least some women who don't cover their heads, even on Shabbos, I'm sure, and give a Divrei Torah, including fairly Haredi rabbis who come and are on speaking tours and appear in these shuls? And the second question is, I was in Israel recently and I noticed that there are a variety of different styles of the extent to which people cover their hair while they're wearing tichel. And there's, there's like three or four different. So I approached a woman who I know who's married to a real Ben Torah and who herself is a daughter of a famous rabbi and who covers her hair with a shave. And I said, what's the derivation? I see all these very observant women who have various stages of hair coverings. And she said, that's based on the uncertainty of what Ufara Rosh, what the word Ufara means. And there's no set agreement on the extent to which that refers to complete prohibition on covering the hair. That's what she said. So those are two questions.
So, regards to the first one, we have the Aruch HaShulchan, which says that nowadays a woman go with hair uncovered, so the prohibition of saying the Torah in the presence of it is not prohibited. And Moshe says you can rely on that if necessary.
What about other body parts?
No, not other body parts.
Somebody's not, you have that.
You have to ask a rabbi.
So just don't look.
So, just don't look doesn't work. The look is by air, but you have to face away. You can't be facing towards the person. It's a problem. It is a real problem. And I think if a woman would understand that the halachic challenges that they're creating, maybe they'd be more careful. As regards to the first one, simply regards to hair, you have that opinion. It doesn't solve the other issues. One of these tributes to people working Kirov, obviously working in the world of Kirov, that's this issue of exposed parts of the body is a major problem. So there are some tributes about it to find different kinds of solutions, etc. None of them are like great ongoing solutions for the problem that a person should use regularly. Okay, in regards to the second issue, I'm not sure it depends on the word of Pora, but it does depend on this definition of this true for immersion. Immersion says that a certain amount can be uncovered. Based on this idea, we find that the definition of an air boat is defined by this area of a tefach. So immersion does have, he seems to rely on it, at least in the quote-unquote situation, a person who's is doing it, he said, is not called transgressing. That's his language. Not that you should do it, but the person who does do it is not called transgressing. That's not a very preferable way of doing something, but at least saying the bidyeh, but it's not called transgressing. So, and answer your question 100%.
Good answers.
Okay. One last point in regards to the point where women has to start covering her hair. Mishura Pasen is a woman who's an arusa has to cover her hair, which is admitted by the Hasidim, by the very very from Bnei Torah, etc. So it means a woman has to wear shetel to her chasna, because as soon as they do the kedushin under the chuppah, she has to cover her hair. There's some say that it's totally in the chuppah, but some say it's totally the woman being a bu'ula. The chiyuv to cover her hair depends on the woman being a bu'ula, which would only be the following morning she has a chiyuv to cover her hair. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted to say that that was the meaning of the Bnei Torah historically. It was to follow that shita that Ravon Cutler held like that as well. By Masoret tells, actually, Shimon Reb Chaim would not be Masadar Kedushin by a chasna if the woman was not wearing a shetel by a chasna.
That's what Rabbi Yaakov said, that she should wear a shetel at the chasna.
No, Rabbi Yaakov said she could wait till the next morning.
Okay.
And Ravon Cutler also said like that. Rabbi tells
Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky.
Kamenetsky, yeah. Whereas, so in Chavos Chaim, they go like to Mishavura. Chavos Chaim, Yeshiva, the women, girls, ladies wear shetels by the chasna. So, the different opinions when it starts. This is a lot of, again, a lot of being spilled on this topic. Okay.